Now let's go to Colossians 2, 1 through 23. Colossians 2, 1 through 23. Let's see what he has to say there about our freedom. For I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. Now, what's the mystery of God? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's what it is. The mystery of God. He's praying that that revelation will be. They will understand who they are, because they're human beings just like us. If they don't realize that the Christ is living in them, they'll go out and they'll lie, they'll steal, they'll cheat. They'll go to bed with somebody. We was down at a church, a big church in Grapevine. Cheryl and I had just gotten married, just barely. We'd only been married a few months. And they asked me to speak one Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Well, she didn't get in until 3 o'clock in the morning. You know, she'd been out singing at some kind of a meeting or whatever, and about 3 o'clock before she got home. So the next morning at 7 o'clock, I get up. She hadn't been in bed but about 4 hours. So, you know, as a good husband, I ain't going to wake her up and get her out of bed. I'm going to let her sleep. You know, so I get up and quiet and get dressed. And I go to this meeting, and about halfway through the meeting, about 10 or 11, she wakes up and sees that I'm gone and says, "Oh my gosh, my husband doesn't love me. Run off without me." See, I'm trying to love her, you know, but she didn't understand that. But anyway, at the meeting, we're talking about these kinds of things, about Christ in us, the hope of glory. And one of the pastors at the break, he came up to me and said, "Thurman, I got to tell you something." He said, "I didn't realize he was in me. I'd read those scriptures. I knew what that said." But he said, "My wife and I got into a little disagreement. And she went home to mama for a couple of weeks." Now see, whenever, if they'd have realized that Christ was in them when they got into the disagreement, the first thing he should have done, if he's getting mad at his wife and start to read her the right act, or she's reading him the right act, the Holy Spirit needs to say, "Hold it, you're talking to me. Is that right? Don't you go to screaming at me. I'm Christ in there, and Christ is in you." Now we need to right there think, "Oh God, I'm sorry. But they didn't. They didn't realize Christ was in both of them, the hope of glory. So they got into a disagreement, she goes home. So a couple of weeks, you know, he's out shopping. He said, "I was down to some of the store buying something," and said, "All of a sudden I heard somebody holler at me, 'Hi, Bob,'" or whatever his name was. I forget what the pastor's, one of the pastors, this big church, had 25 pastors at this church, big church that I was speaking at. In fact, I was speaking only to the pastors and the Sunday school teachers and the deacons, and there was over 200 of them in the meeting. And what, this didn't include any of the normal people in the church. These were just people that worked in the church. So at the break, he come up and told me, he said, "I heard somebody call my name." I looked around. It was my old high school sweetheart. So I said, "She come on, we got to talking." And you know, I said, "Well, how's your husband?" "Oh," she said, "I divorced him." I said, "You know, I'm not married anymore." "How's your wife?" "Well, she's at mother's, you know." And I said, "Everything's okay." But you know, I didn't share with her what problem we had had. But she said, "It's lunchtime. Why don't we sit down over here and go somewhere and have some lunch?" And so he said, I said, "Okay." She was my old high school sweetheart, you know. So he said, we went over and I bought her lunch and we talked a couple of hours, and she was just all giggledy and everything. And she said, "You know, I haven't seen you in so long. Why don't you just come up this afternoon? Since your wife's out of town, why don't you come up and spend the afternoon with me at the apartment?" You see any red flags coming up? Oh, Lord. But, you know, now the flesh, what does the flesh do? Oh, the flesh. And see, you're listening to the wrong critter. We either listen to the spirit or we listen to the flesh. Well, he's listening to the flesh. So he goes with his old high school flame, and they go up to her apartment, and they're sitting around drinking tea or whatever, or Cokes or whatever. And he said, "The first thing I know, we are in the bedroom and she's taking her clothes off." He said, "If she lays down on that bed with no clothes on," he said, "I'm starting to take mine off." He said, "The flesh is talking to me." He said, "My flesh is wanting to jump in that bed with her." He said, "All of a sudden, I heard a voice, 'Bob, you know what you're doing is sin?'" He said, "There ain't nobody there." But he said, "Let me tell you, I knew who that was." Now, who was it? Jesus. was it in him?
Jesus.
Christ in him, the hope of glory. Now, if he had realized for a second that Jesus was in him this whole time, he would have never went there with this woman. I mean, the minute she said, let's go to dinner, he said, I'm a married man and I can't do that. You know, I can't do that. Or if he had at least taken her to dinner, when she said, let's go to my apartment, he'd have said, honey, I'm sorry, I'm a married man and I ain't definitely going to be in no, and besides that, I'm a pastor of a church. You ain't going to find me in no place with a woman. It ain't going to happen. So let me just say goodbye and you go have a good day and I'll see you maybe some other day. But that's what he should have done. But see, when you're listening to the flesh, we're talking about, he says, you know, my flesh wanted to crawl in that bed with her. When you're listening to the flesh, what does the flesh always want to do? Sin. That's what it wants to do. You got to be tuned into the Spirit of God. But if we ever get this locked into us, that Jesus is right here 24/7 and you can't get rid of him, I don't care if you're in the middle of the night, pitch black, he's in you, the hope of glory. So let that control what comes out of your mouth. Realize he's listening. He knows everything about you, doesn't he? This secret, we need to lock onto this thing. That their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. See, if we don't pray that people will have that kind of revelation, they'll go do dumb things in the world because they don't realize he's there. But you can't get rid of him. I see people pray all the time, Lord, go with us this week. You just wasted your breath. You can't get rid of him. If Christ is in you, the hope of glory, you can't get rid of him. Verse 3 and 4. In whom, in Christ, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. What's hidden in him? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And where is he?
In you.
So where are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge?
In us.
So when we need something as the church, how do we tap into that resource to get our answer? Prayer. That's absolutely right. When you pray, and it's not hard, and he's not far away, is he? He's right there. So when you're walking in obedience to his word, and you pray in your job, I mean, this is the first way God started teaching me. In my job. I mean, I had a big job. I mean, I went all over the country, built buildings, designed equipment, had to answer very sophisticated questions about different equipment. And when I learned this knowledge and wisdom was in me, you'd be amazed at the times I have been somewhere and I would start to fix something. And before we do this, I'd say, well, let's pray first. And we would pray. And somebody said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm praying. I'm asking God for knowledge and wisdom. And he would give me the answer. In fact, I remember one morning something so awesome. When I was out here at DFW Airport, I come in about 6 o'clock in the morning. For some strange reason, I got up and went early. I got out there that morning. The VP was already there when I got there. He's never there till 8 o'clock. But he was there when I was there. When I walked in, he said, oh, Thurman, I'm so glad you're here. He said, I was going to try to call you. But he said, we've been down. The boilers are down. He said, we can't cook anything. We can't wash any dishes. The building is shut down. He said, you got to find out what's wrong. So the guy's been working on it since 2 o'clock this morning, and they can't figure out what the problem is. I go running down there. I mean, when I get there, Dan and Neil were down there, two of the finest men I've seen in the engineering world. And both of them, I said, Dan, what's wrong? He said, Thurman, I don't know. He said, I ain't never seen nothing like this. He said, you fill the boilers up with fresh water and said, in 3 minutes, they're dry. And he said, I've never seen anything like this. We can't get any dry steam anywhere. I said, hold it just a minute. I said, Father, in the name of Jesus, what's wrong with these boilers? I said, Lord, thank you. It's done in Jesus' name. Just as like that. He said, your condensate is contaminated, son. Dump it. I heard that just as clear. I said, Dan, break those condensate return lines. Dump all that return. He said, Thurman, what do you mean? I said, don't ask me no questions. Just do what I tell you. And they broke those lines, dumped it. I said, now fill them boilers up with fresh water. He started filling the boilers up with fresh water. I said, now leave those condensate return lines. Let it run on the floor. I don't want all. I want no makeup. I want all 100% makeup going in those boilers. I said, now turn them on. And in 10 or 15 minutes, we had dry steam throughout the building and everything in the building was working perfect. I said, now, guys, we know we got a tank somewhere in one of those systems that's leaking soap or something. and it's contaminated and it's bringing it back. So I said, just go to each individual one and check them. And when you find the one that's contaminated, I said, seal off that one, and then you can put all the condensate back to the boilers and you can run them. And I said, we'll be okay. Well, I went walking back up to the office. I'd only been down there just a few minutes. I walk up there and Peppy, the BP, come running. He said, Thurman, I understand you already got it fixed. I said, yeah, Peppy, it was real simple. He said, how in the world did you fix it so quick? I said, real simple, Peppy, I prayed. You done what? I said, the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, he lives in me, Peppy. And I said, all of the knowledge and the wisdom of the universe is in me. And so when I pray, he tells me what's wrong. And that's how we got it back online. He walks off to his office. He ain't never seen nothing like that. Why doesn't every Christian in the world do this? Where is he? Where is he? He's in you. And if you're walking in obedience to his word, all you got to do is just what this young lady said back here. Pray, and he'll give you that wisdom, right? Pray expecting. See, when I prayed, I expected an answer. And he gave it to me instantly. But how many times have I done that? Oh, I couldn't even tell you how many times I've done that. So if God answers my prayer when I ask in faith, is he going to do the same thing for you? Yeah. Of course. Absolutely. Don't hesitate to pray. That's where you get your answers. Because he says right there, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow, just amazing. He even knows understand boilers. He understands computers. He understands everything. Now then, verse 5 and 6. Though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying in beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. That's the secret. Walk in obedience to the Lord. Verse 7 and 8. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. I mean, we ought to be praying over everything. I mean, we should do nothing as children of God without praying with thanksgiving. You know, we ought to pray and say, thank you, Lord. I mean, even if he don't give us the answer right then, you ought to still say, Lord, thank you.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, The Power Works in Us Mightily, in its entirety, or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.